On today's Random Thoughts, I will be diving into some recent polls to let you know just how your neighbors are thinking about a variety of things, so stick around. Hello and welcome to episode number 268 of the Random Thoughts Podcast. You can spell that R-A-N-D-U-M-B thoughts.com online. I am your host, Darren O'Neill, and I hope everybody had a good St. Patrick's Day. The last episode, all about St. Patrick, really seemed to hit the mark. You're never really sure when you go down a more religious aisle. And everybody seemed to like the information provided there. My buddy Larry really enjoyed the reading of the Prayer of St. Patrick. So thank you to everybody for checking out that episode. And if you haven't, it's a 20-minute history lesson full of things about St. Patrick that you probably didn't know. So check it out. But today, I wanted to talk mainly about a couple different polls that are out. As we go through the next 8 months, you're going to be hearing a lot about the polling. And is it accurate? Not always. There are some pollsters that are better than others. When you're looking at any poll, it's very important to look at who they ask. Are they looking at voters? Are they looking at everybody that responded to a poll by clicking on a link online? Is it anybody of any age? Is it likely voters? When you're looking at how the world may vote, you really want to kind of stick to the likely voters rather than the people who are never going to leave their basement or send in a vote. But over the next 8 months, we're going to be getting a lot of information with people trying to predict what's going to go on in the presidential election. And what they do is they ask questions about things that they believe are on people's minds, things that they believe may change people's minds when they go in and vote for whoever they're going to vote for come November. The first one I want to talk about is a McLaughlin and Associates survey that the Washington Examiner had an article on. And this was based upon the legal woes of Donald Trump. And they wanted to know if the average person thought that the Biden administration and the president were involved in what's going on with Donald Trump's legal woes and whether or not it's being done for politics. So this McLaughlin and Associates survey asked the question, President Trump has been indicted on a total of 91 counts by supporters of Joe Biden and his Justice Department. If convicted of these charges, do you think that Joe Biden wants to stop President Trump from winning the election by putting him in jail? I will say there's some leading language in here when you say that he has been indicted by supporters of Joe Biden and his Justice Department. I think that may be leading the witness just a little bit. But in the answer to this, 56% say yes. They believe that Joe Biden wants to stop President Trump from winning by putting him in jail. 30% say no, and 14% don't know or refuse to answer the question. The Washington Examiner says, quote, what's more, voters said they believe Biden is playing a key role in driving the investigations of his rival. Some 58% said Biden has a role. And of that 58%, 40% believe that Biden's role in the prosecution of Donald Trump is major. The wording on what was posed here is, and how much of a role would you say President Joe Biden has played in the indictments of former President Donald Trump? 58% say he has a role, 40% a major role, 18% a minor role, and 33% no role at all, with 9% refusing to answer. And as a side note, as part of this McLaughlin and Associates survey, they asked some question about Bidenomics, where 83% of the respondents said that President Joe Biden's economic program has, quote, impacted them. Well, we all know that doesn't mean anything good. What we're taking out of this one, a lot of people believe that the president of the United States is targeting with various legal actions the previous president of the United States in order to keep him from beating him in the next election. This is banana republic kind of stuff. This is why people around the world are looking at the United States in a different way, the shining beacon on the hill, that light starting to fade, because people can see through the charade of what's going on here, making Donald Trump out to be as, oh, the very sane, Keith Olbermann said, the most dangerous criminal ever in all of humanity. Trying to paint that picture, I believe, will backfire. But then the only question becomes, how fair will that next election be? Not only do people believe that Joe Biden is intentionally trying to railroad Donald Trump, they also do not have a lot of faith in the election process at this point either. And this takes us into the Rasmussen Reports, another survey company, usually better than most. In this case, they asked 1,051 likely voters. Again, you want to know the last one. They didn't tell you who they talked to get the answers, but Rasmussen will tell you, survey of 1,051 United States likely voters, margin of error plus or minus 3%. The question, quote, how concerned are you that the outcome of the 2024 presidential election will be affected by cheating, end quote. All answers, so everybody combined, 40% very concerned the outcome will be affected by cheating, and 26% somewhat concerned. So there's concern with 66% overall that the election will be, not only will there be cheating, but the results are going to be affected by cheating. 66% of the likely voters don't have faith in the system. 17% say not very concerned, and 5% not at all, which gives you about 22% that are like, no, everything's fine. When it comes to Republicans, I don't think there's a big surprise here. Their number is a little bit higher, 54% very concerned, and 26% somewhat concerned, which gives you 80% of Republicans believe that the 2024 presidential election will be affected by cheating. 10% not very when it comes to Republicans, 8% not at all. So 18% of Republicans not worried about cheating, and 23% overall. Democrats, 29% even, very concerned about cheating, 26% somewhat concerned about cheating. That's 55% of the Democrats that are concerned that cheating will affect the presidential race. This is not a good thing, people. This is not a good thing for the longevity of the country. 23% of Democrats not very concerned, and 20% not concerned at all. So 43% of the Democrats aren't concerned, but still a majority are in the almighty independent voters, 37% very concerned that the election will be affected by cheating. 27% are somewhat concerned, which is 64% overall. 16% not very concerned, 17% not at all. So 35 that aren't really worried independent, but this is a majority of the people across the board. It doesn't just have to be a Republican. They're not the only ones going, wow, there's a lot of cheating going on. Why is that? I thought it was only the Republicans and these horrible people that dared to question the elections. I thought the election deniers were all Republicans. Obviously not. A majority of Democrats appear to be election deniers because a majority of Democrats say they're concerned that the election will be affected by cheating. Independents as well. Again, overall numbers, 66% are concerned and 40% very concerned overall that there will be cheating involved in the next election that will set the bar for one candidate over the other. Now, one of the big issues that's been going on, of course, the southern border. Unless you watch MSNBC, they'll tell you there's nothing going on, nothing to worry about, nothing happening at the southern border at all. We just saw Joe Biden in his State of the Union address dare to use the term illegal alien. Nancy Pelosi was like, oh, he shouldn't have done that. Joe Biden then kowtowed and apologized for using the term. Now, the question becomes, what do you think as a likely voter in the United States? What do you think the people who cross over the border without documentation, without authorization, what should they be called? This, again, a Rasmussen report survey. 1,149 likely voters in the United States conducted this past week, March 13th to the 17th. 35% believe the correct term, illegal alien. 27% believe the correct term is illegal immigrant. So illegal alien, illegal immigrant, the word that the left hates, illegal is in both. And that gives you 63% of the country believes illegal should be in there. 63%, either illegal alien or illegal immigrant. And that's 62%. Trying to do math on the fly. That never works. 12% say asylum seeker is the correct term. And 20% go with Nancy Pelosi's undocumented migrant. But a majority of people that are likely voters in the United States, 62% will say illegal alien or illegal immigrant. This is where we have to understand, I believe, as a country, as a citizen of the United States, even as we watch so much media that is completely woke. We've heard the stories, just how crazy companies like ABC, Disney are when they decide what kind of programming they will show you and what checkboxes they have to go through. We know the media that we're getting is very woke. We know what we're getting on MSNBC, NBC, ABC, shows like The View. Very woke. Fox News, not even completely unwoke. And we're getting so much of this stuff. Glenn Beck is the guy that turned me on to the term a long time ago, the Overton window. And I think it is quite valid for people to understand that concept when they push and push and push and get you used to something that may be a little bit crazy. Then you'll be like, well, no, we can't do that, but let's just pull it back a little and everybody gets to get what they want, except that's exactly what they wanted to get to. You know, very simple concept would be, hey, we're sitting at zero now on whatever the subject matter is. And the left wants us to get to 7. Well, the left pushes it to 10. And you're like, no, 10 is way too much. But let's back it off. That'll be fine. Let's go back down to 7. And the left's like, ha-ha, that's what we wanted in the first place. They're getting you used to all of these things where you will then start to believe that this is just how your friends think. This is just how your neighbors think. Because a lot of people will not talk about religion and politics. We don't shy away from either one here on the Random Thoughts podcast. But they don't want to talk about it. So there's not a lot of people sitting around the bar, I guess. Do people still go to bars? Not sitting out with their friends going, hey, what do you call them? Illegal aliens? Illegal immigrants? What do you get? Well, no. You can't say that out loud. You might be canceled. So it's important to know. And I applaud Rasmussen for asking this question. So I think it's important to know that a majority of the country still appears to believe that people that enter the country without documentation should be called illegal because they are here illegally. This whole concept that, well, people aren't illegal. It's like, well, no, they're not illegal if they stay in their own damn country. If they come into this country legally, no, they're not illegal. But the minute they commit an illegal act, well, then they are. They're illegally in the country. And again, those numbers were the overall numbers. Rasmussen broke those down for us. When it came to Republicans, 48% say illegal alien, 32% say illegal immigrant, so 80%. 7% say asylum seeker, 9% undocumented migrant, so 16% go in that range. 80% is going to say illegal. When it comes to independents, 35% went with illegal alien, 25% illegal immigrant. So 60% of independents would say that somebody who crosses the border in violation of our immigration laws should be referred to as an illegal. 10% of independents went with asylum seeker, 21% undocumented migrant. But what about Democrats? Are they all woke? I mean, if you watch MSNBC, they wouldn't let you believe they are. 22% of Democrats illegal alien, 21% illegal immigrant. So 43% of Democrats still believe that you should call somebody who is a foreigner who enters the United States illegally, you should call them illegal. 10% of Democrats, not sure, which was the biggest number out of any of them. 8% of independents didn't know, 4% of Republicans, 7% overall. But 10% of Democrats are confused. They're afraid of the wokesters, is what I would believe. 17% said asylum seeker and 28% going along with Nancy Pelosi and the undocumented migrant. The next question was, does illegal immigration make the United States a better country or a worse country? This was posed to, again, 1,149 likely voters in the United States. Rasmussen, margin of error, plus or minus 3%. 14% overall say better. That's it, 14% say better. 25%, no difference at all. 6% don't know, they're confused. And 56% of the respondents overall say illegal immigration makes the United States a worse country. And this one they broke down in an even more interesting way than Republican, Democrat, Independent. They broke this one down based upon race, the whites, the blacks, and the others, who would include Hispanics and I would guess Asians and that. But in this country, mainly Hispanics, I would believe. The white people, 13% said illegal immigration makes the country better. 5% said no difference. 6% didn't know. 56%, same as the overall average of white people, say that illegal immigration makes for a worse country. When it comes to the black demographic answers, 14% better, 32% no difference, 6% don't know, and 48% worse. Illegal immigration makes the United States worse. But let's go to this other slash Hispanic category, where 16%, that's the highest number, say that illegal immigration makes the country better. 19%, the lowest across the board, except for the whites who said 5. 19% say no difference. 3% don't know. 62% of Hispanic likely voters say that illegal immigration makes the United States a worse country. So obviously, those Hispanic voters, totally racist against the brown people that are crossing the border coming into the United States. The highest number out of all, 62% saying that illegal immigration makes the United States a worse country. Again, these things are important to look at. They're important to know. And if they are likely voters in the United States, that would let me tend to guess, at the very least, they were born here. They came to this country legally. They're able to vote, and they want people to follow the same rules. They want people to come into the country legally. And you'll hear this a lot from people who had to go through the process, because it is not a simple process. It is not a quick process. When people go through the process themselves, they don't like when people skirt the law and just sneak in and go, I don't have to do that. I just could just walk right over the border and not go through any of the hassles that you did. People don't like that. Nobody likes that with anything. If you work hard to achieve something and then somebody else is just given it, you're like, wait, that's not fair. It's exactly what you have going on here. And of course, Rasmussen did give us the Republican, Independent, Democrat breakdown. Republicans, 76% believe that illegal immigration makes the country worse. 56% of independents believe that illegal immigration makes the country worse. And 38% of Democrats even believe that illegal immigration makes the United States a worse country. 34% of Democrats don't believe it makes any difference whatsoever. And 22% believe it makes it a better country. Only 8% of independents believe that illegal immigration makes this a better country. Only 10% of Republicans on these issues that appear to be the things that are rising to the top as the most important issues leading into the next election. Right now, all things considered, if the Republican candidate wasn't Trump, it would appear to be a bloodbath. If I can use a Trump word, what would be coming in November? But because it is Trump, it's going to be anybody's guess, I suppose. But as far as how people feel about the particular topics, the particular subjects, the particular things that maybe need to get fixed for this country to continue to thrive, the independent vote seems to be leaning the Republican way and not the Democrat way. Further proof of that comes in one last Rasmussen question. Again, same people, 1,149 likely voters, United States, March 13th through the 17th, margin of error, plus or minus 3%. How concerned are you that illegal immigration may contribute to the violent crime problem in America? Overall, 46% very concerned that illegal immigration may contribute to violent crime. 20% somewhat concerned, so 66% overall concerned at some level that illegal immigration contributes to violent crime. 21% not very concerned, 10% not concerned at all, so 31% of the country not concerned at all that illegal immigration can lead to more violent crime. 2% clueless, don't know. 66%. That's a majority, kids. It's a pretty good majority for today's split world that we have in the United States. No surprise here again. Republicans, 68%, very concerned. Democrats, 30%, very concerned. And independents, 41%, so in the middle there, very concerned. But 24%, somewhat concerned for independents, 16% Republicans, 21% Democrats. It's not a big surprise that Republicans are the most concerned about this issue, with only 10% of Republicans saying not very concerned and 4% not at all. Only 14% of Republicans not worried. 34% of independents aren't worried, and 46% of Democrats aren't worried that illegal immigration might lead to a more of the violent crime that the United States has been seeing. Of course, again, if you watch the mainstream media, if you watch MSNBC, we're not having a violent crime problem. They also tell you that the inflation rates are coming down. Well, no, they're slowing down. They're not coming down. I'm not seeing negative numbers yet. You have to be very careful to watch what's going on and have to understand the reality, because you will be reported things that are outright lies, and you will also be reported things that are technically true by the wording, but they're saying it in such a way as to make you think that what they're saying means something else. A perfect example is Donald Trump talking the other day about auto manufacturing in the United States and saying if he doesn't win, it was going to be a bloodbath, referring to what would happen to the auto manufacturers that are doing business here in the United States, that are building cars here. And of course, a majority of the liberal media, I saw this covered both by Bill O'Reilly and the Washington Examiner. O'Reilly had a list of everybody who ran with the story, who fear-mongered everybody, took it out of context, and just reported it as Donald Trump saying, if I don't win, it's going to be a bloodbath. And then they talked about January 6th and insurrection and all these sorts of things, when this was very clearly a comment that was taken out of context by all of these news organizations, and the list was long. Most of them were on there. This is how the news, and you can put that in air quotes because it's not actually news anymore, but this is how things are reported. You cannot believe the mainstream media. They'll tell you, well, Donald Trump, those are his exact words. But snipping things out of context, we all know the game at this point, but people are still naive. People still fall for it. You have to really dig at this point to get to the truth. You have to find out if anybody's quoted saying anything, where that quote came from, what was being discussed. CNN tried to do this in a promo piece to show how all the other news organizations were racist and horrible. They had a clip of Bill O'Reilly saying some things like, well, you know, the slaves were treated really well and they had a pretty good life, to make it sound like he was a horrible racist old white guy. And O'Reilly played the whole clip, and it turns out he was quoting Michelle Obama, that horrible white supremacist that she is. But these are the ways that the people use, the propagandists. That's what news is now. That's what all media is. Social media, almost everything you get on the internet, there is a lot of propaganda out there. And you have to be very cautious. It's very easy to fall for this stuff. That is one of the reasons I hope I am helping out by putting this show out there, trying to expose the things that need to be exposed and to let you think about things maybe in a different way, warn you when things are coming down the pike. And yes, that is pike, P-I-K-E, not pipe, even though a lot of people say pipe. You know how it is. The language is changing. Or overall, we just have a dumbing down of a whole lot of people, but not you, because you are listening to this show. So you know what's going on. This is a value for value show, which means the shows go out there. They're not behind a paywall. You get to listen to them and decide if you've gotten any value out of them whatsoever. And if so, get us some value back in a variety of ways. Time, talent, treasure. And treasure is always the most appreciated to keep the microphone sounding good, the web hosting bills paid, and all of that. And the St. Patrick's Day show, it just dropped on Saturday, and today's Wednesday, so it was a quick week, but we do have a few people to thank, all coming in on the podcasting 2.0 ecosystem, all boosting Satoshis, streaming Satoshis, which is a beautiful thing. It's a new way, if you're not aware, to support the shows that you listen to, often on a minute-by-minute basis. You get to set it and forget it. Hey, do you want to give a penny? You want to give 5 cents, whatever it is, per minute while you listen to your shows? It just happens in the background. It's all done via the blockchain Bitcoin network. Very cool stuff. Go to newpodcastapps.com if you want to check it out. But coming in first today, our buddy, Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley. We have often said he is the patron saint of podcasting. He came in with 25,000 Satoshis, which is right about $16 today, Bitcoin fluctuating. But he was also streaming some sats while he was listening, so he probably boosted that up to about $20 or so for today's show. And he says, boosting my Saints Day, I'm Sean Michael Patrick. So, that makes perfect sense. The patron saint of podcasting, also named after St. Patrick. Thank you, Sir Sean, as always. It is very much appreciated. Dale Jr. coming in with 10,000 Satoshis. That's about $6.50 right now. He says, didn't know my wallet was empty when I was listening, so here's a boost to cover it. Thank you. That is very much appreciated, Dale Jr. He is fully on board the podcasting 2.0 thing, as is Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley. And it's nice because as you're listening to shows, you can just comment and send little boosts with little messages. And then people that are doing the podcast, they can see when that comes in and all this other kind of stuff. I need to start getting the timestamps because our buddy Redbeard Jake W. came in with 1317. That's the St. Patrick's boost, I suppose. And with three messages, one said great stuff, and then the next two said great history. So I'm glad you enjoyed the facts that we brought that a lot of people just don't know about St. Patrick. I find his story to be an amazing one, and one worthy of looking back on every year when St. Patrick's Day rolls around. And of course, Dame Slamy, I saw you streaming some Satoshis there. It is very much appreciated. Everybody that helps support the show, everybody that gives their time even to listen to the show, tells a friend or 12, leaves a review, posts about it on social media. All of those things help this little podcast grow, and it is very much appreciated. If you want to help support the show, please go to Random Thoughts, randumthoughts.com/donate. You can click that donate button. You can use the QR codes, wallet addresses if you want to do the crypto thing. You can use the P.O. box address if you want to go that route. And of course, you can stream some Satoshis, newpodcastapps.com. It is all very much appreciated. And with that said, I will be back again next week with another edition of the Random Thoughts podcast. Until then, I am Darren O'Neill. Thanks for listening.